Welcome to Real Flicks Reviews, or like a book club for people who hate reading. This month we're doing grab bags, so I picked the movie Parkland, made in 2013. We bring you movie news, and this week we have The Gruesome Twosome. A recounting of the chaotic events that occurred at Dallas Parkland Hospital on the day U.S. President John F. Kennedy was assassinated. And what surprised me about this one, and I actually don't remember that, this is made by Playtones.
You weren't alive.
Well, true. But I mean, when I actually saw this the first time, I didn't remember that this was made by Tom Hanks' production company, Playtone.
I don't remember the production company, but yeah, I did see that it was Tom Hanks was in there.
Well, it was, it's the same. Have you ever seen the movie, that Thing You Do?
Yeah.
The band The Wonders were signed on? That was the name where it came from.
Okay. All right. That makes sense.
I got to say, the first thing that always stood out about this movie to me was the color. And just even like it looks like 1960 something. I mean, there's nothing a whole lot that stood out to me as not looking like it was from the time period. Which sometimes these time period pieces, they stick out.
Yeah, but I mean, all in all, it was. I thought it was a nice little story that it told. I mean, it was a different setting than what you're used to.
Oh yeah, I've never.
I was a little disappointed by the fact that you didn't get to see very much of the book suppository.
Really?
Can you tell me where that's from?
Not at the top of my head.
Metal Jacket.
Ah, that's right. I have to admit though, that was something that I was kind of hoping they would show that.
The book suppository?
Yeah, they would show the fact they would show him kind of scoping up.
Oh.
But I really like the way this took it. It was from, I would say almost a neutral position in some of it, and then it's from Oswald's family to other part of it.
Yeah,
which is something I don't know if I've ever
seen.
His
mom was literally insane. She really was.
Well, that's the whole part. My wife and I had the same comment when she was saying that my boy was an agent for the U.S. government. He should be married next to John F. Kennedy. And her surviving son's like, shut up, mother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I did kind of feel bad for the brother. But, it was just kind of the way it was. And,
even the way the cops said it, that one cop on the scene said, you're going to want to gather your family, your surviving family, and you're going to move and don't ever expect any help from Dallas Police Department.
Yeah, or really anybody.
Yeah,
and
the surrounding
area. And, I guess it's just the fact that I wasn't alive then, but, Kennedy
wasn't. Wait, you weren't?
Kennedy wasn't a bad president, but, I was always kind of like, was he really that great of a president to where everybody was just, devastated by his death? It was a sad death. It really was.
I think for some of it, Kennedy was.
It must have been something about being alive at the time.
Well, I definitely got to be a product of the time, because don't forget, he did in the, I think it was 60, he was elected. He's the one who gave, we're going to, by the end of the decade, we're going to go to the moon.
Yeah.
I think for him personally, and this is kind of a guess since, I wasn't alive, is I just think he was too young. I don't think he was in office a whole lot to really make a big impact. One, he was in, what was it? It was the Cuban Missile Crisis. He did do some things.
Yeah, he did.
But I just don't know if he was. I think one of the reasons he's such a famous president is because what happened.
His presidency wasn't that long.
No, it really wasn't.
And I think it was just like I'm saying is, it's from my perspective of not being around at the time. And the politics were changing at the time. But from what I understand, he was a president that both parties really liked. And that's something you don't see in very many presidents, but, it's like one of those things that I guess it, not being alive, of course, it didn't affect me as much. But, I did see the footage quite a bit in high school because I was on the Laserdisc that we could watch.
I will say the one hard part, I think the hardest scene in the whole movie in general was the part when, what's his name? His wife.
Jackie Kennedy.
Jackie Kennedy handed the skull.
And the skull and the brain matter.
Yeah, that to me was one of the better scenes.
The lady who played Jackie Kennedy did a good job as far as I could tell. I mean, she did.
I don't remember her having a whole lot of face time either. It was a lot of body movements in general.
Yeah, but I mean, I think she did a good job as playing Jackie Kennedy at for such a traumatic event for the woman.
Oh, yeah.
Was Jackie Kennedy.
Yeah.
for the actress to play that.
Because it changed her entire life.
Yeah, it was. There's no going back from something like that.
No.
And from what I understand, Jackie Kennedy was the same way that they were portraying when they were trying to get her out of the car. Jackie Kennedy put up a lot of
resistance. Oh, yeah, she didn't resistance. Want to leave, she didn't want to leave
her husband. Let go. Well, she didn't want to let go of his skull because she was afraid that the rest of his head was going to fall apart.
And
from what I've been told. So whoever played Jackie Kennedy.
And I really love the cast. Even Zac Efron. I was actually really impressed. I mean, I'll be honest. I don't think it was that complicated of a role, but I really liked him in it. You know, you got Tom Welling, Billy Bob Thornton, who I've always liked.
And then you got the guy from Band of Brothers. I can't remember his name.
Oh, yes.
But
yes.
Yeah, it's good to see him acting. I don't see him in very many roles since Band of Brothers.
My favorite part, he got called into his, I think he got called into his boss's office or boss
no,
was...
No, they did in the middle of the room.
Oh, that's right. Like when the boss was questioning him, he said, I was in the army. You know, that always made me laugh. It's like, yes, go easy. And I'm like, wait a minute, it's probably not the same character.
No, it's not the same character. And I think it would be a little bit older.
Just a little. But
20 years.
I really liked everything about this movie. There's not much that I hated about it. I kept trying to think what I hated about it. And I kept going back to the fact there was little in here that I think that you can hate, because this really was more of a docudrama.
Yeah.
Which I liked. I loved kind of the neutralness in this, in my opinion. It was very neutral as far as it let the character, let you kind of choose your opinion based on the character and the story, even though everybody pretty knows what happens in here.
Yeah. The one thing that did disturb me, and I did know that actually did occur, was the releasing of the body.
Yes, that was the part.
That whole thing was just one of those, and it was like, well, really, what are you going to, why make that stand for that then? Other than just to say that we still have the president's body, what is the point of it?
See, I was actually reading up a little bit on that, and part of the conspiracy theory revolving that is between leaving the medical examiner building and going to D.C., there's hours that they don't know what happened. So the conspiracy theory is saying is the chain of evidence wasn't 100%. And so that was the only thing I could see. It's the same thing with allegedly that guy was ordered to destroy the file.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So that's what the people are saying there's issues, is because people are trying to cover their own ass.
Well, yeah, and I mean, yeah, of course they're trying to cover their own ass, but, you know, it's just one of those that it just kind of seemed a little bit unnecessary.
I actually don't think so, because one of the reasons I liked that scene is because I could totally see, coming from perspective, as it happened in my town, we're going to make sure that we figure it out. You know, granted, you have all the alphabet agencies saying, how dare you, this is our guy. You know, like even Billy Bob Thornton says, I've been doing this job for 30 years, and this is the first time I ever lost my man, so shut up.
Yeah, and
you
lost the man.
Yeah.
That was actually the code name, the man.
And so I could see that, saying it happened in our town, we'll solve it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, is there anybody in this cast Ron Livingston, who played... Who's the guy from Band of Brothers?
Yes.
That's his name.
Yeah.
I really love his character. I wish he was in more of this movie.
I like him as an actor, though.
Yeah, no, same here.
I think he's got a good actor. It seemed a little bit the same role in a few scenes, but...
And I think his character...
They didn't develop it.
And I'll be honest, I think most of the characters in this movie were kind of, for lack of a better term, kind of muted. There wasn't a lot of...
backstory.
Yeah, no, true. But you're kind of getting the backstory as they go along when you need backstory. So most the non-important characters, even kind of the ancillary characters like Ron Livingston, I don't think was germane to the story. So they just kind of threw him in, and you kind of get a little bit.
Well, the thing is that you're telling a few days. Literally telling a day in the life, you know, type thing.
I do wish this movie was 2 hours. I think with 2 hours, or even like an extra 15 minutes, I think they could have made it richer.
Yeah, but I think that with how much they were trying to cover, they did a good job.
You think it would have been like diminishing marginal returns? Like if you tell too much, it would ruin the movie?
Yeah, I think that there is a point where there would have been ruining it. Because there's only so much you can really tell.
No, true.
Without getting into the politics of everything, and like you're saying, the conspiracy theories.
And I think one of the better thing about this movie is there are stereotypical characters. They don't stand out as much, because you've got the you know, the Secret Service guy who's, you're not going to do this. You know, you have all these, you know, you have the cameraman who was very protective of the film. Didn't, you know, I love the fact that these characters, well, for a while, they're based on real people and they are stereotypical in some sense, but it plays so well in the movie.
Yeah, but I think it, in the sense of, it, I mean, you're just going to run into the same type of thing. Like the thing with him having to go to so many different places to try to get the film developed.
The first one I actually thought was stupid. They went to a newspaper for a movie, for real. I mean, really? I mean, come, use some brains here.
Yeah, but that was the guy that he got approached by in the beginning, remember?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That was the guy that he's like, hey, you got a camera. What did you see? Did you see it all? Did you get everything? And that was the reporter. So that's why he went there first, is because he's like, okay, well, this guy said he would help me out, so let's see. And yeah, but I mean, that's actually one of the funny things is that, I mean, you got a time period where you got film, and there's so many different types of film that were around and available at that time.
Oh, yeah.
That I don't think the younger generation who may see this film might not understand that, and they kind of try to cover that a little bit. Like, you got the 18 millimeter, and then you got the 16 millimeter, and this is half of that. So yeah.
It was 16 and 8 millimeter.
Yeah, 16 and 8 millimeter. But you know, it's like they're talking about how many frames, and I don't think a lot of people are going to understand that. Is that pretty much that's what a camera was back then? It was frame by frame by frame, and now have stuff that it's like you got so many frames per second.
The only way I think you could compare that to would be maybe like DVD versus SD versus micro SD.
I think the only way that we could really explain it to the people is, you know, look at Burshot and then scroll through Burshot.
Well, I mean, like if you're gonna kind of like a modern approach to it, be like, you know, you have a guy who has a camcorder that's old that takes like a DVD and a camcorder nowadays it takes an SD card.
ScanDisc or,
I think that'd be the only way you could do it because you can't you can't really compare it. I do. The other thing I like is the fact that they use the original footage.
Yeah, they did.
They didn't. Matter of fact, I really love the fact that they didn't try to recreate it anyways.
Yeah.
And I think in modern movies, we have a tendency to want to make things pretty. And I think this helped kind of add a little bit more realism when you actually got to see, you know, actually on that.
They didn't actually show the actual contact with the bullet.
No, but they show bits and pieces.
I have seen, because that footage is out there if you guys really want to go see it.
But, I mean, they actually showed the real footage and the bits in the beginning. And I like that. I like when movies aren't afraid to use that.
Yeah.
And this movie, I don't think, ever used that. Some military films have a tendency to they'll show one scene, you got a brand new tank, and they'll show another scene where a guy's walking out, and it's obviously footage from World War II that's been colorized.
Yeah, and that was actually one of the things that I thought was really interesting, is being able to see the actors' reactions to it, and I think they did a good job with the reactions that they gave to seeing that footage for the first time, because, I mean, that's like one of the first assassinations ever filmed. I think there was only like one or two. I think there was one other assassination film before this one.
No, I know what you're talking about.
I think there's one.
I love Billy Bob Thornton's reaction though in this one. I think it's the first time they've actually seen, you hear Billy Bob Thornton say, "Jesus Christ," and his facial tic, his reaction.
Yeah.
I love that because
I think Billy Bob Thornton is a good actor.
You know, he plays in a lot of bad movies, but I really like that section because you could totally tell he's just like, oh.
Yeah.
And I really wish, I got to apologize for not saying beginning, our cohort in crime, the pale one, Ryan, unfortunately couldn't make it tonight. And because he was one of the people I was really looking forward to seeing what his opinion is. So hopefully next week we'll be able to harass him and kind of get what he thinks of it.
Yeah. The last thing I got to say, and I got to admit it, it's just probably just a sadistic kind of twisted part of me is, you know, the scene where they just got in the president on the plane.
The casket or the actual
the
person?
Casket? Because Johnson wasn't president at the time. He got sworn in on the plane. Remember, after the casket was on there.
True, but you did have those Secret Service guy tell Johnson, say, "Mr. President, we need to take you to."
Yes.
So to them, they were he was already the man in charge.
Yeah. Well, once the president gets, a headshot like that, But there's a scene where the nurses are putting his shoes in the bags and putting his clothes in there. I gotta say, I probably would have snaked a pin or a cufflink or something.
It's like the scene from Independence Day when they're getting on a plane and the old guy who was in number saying, "Did you get one of those pens? The ones I give out."
Yeah, it's something like that. But it's one of those that it's like. Not to be like morbid, but just to kind of be like, this is from the day he died, and nobody really claimed it.
so I have a question. I mean, to me, this movie, I could see where they were trying to add emotion to it, but didn't really give an emotional reaction to me. I think part of it because I wasn't there. But was there any scenes that you got any sort of emotional feeling besides the recognition of it was supposed to be emotional?
I think it was when the doctors were in there and they were actually literally working on him at that time. And it wasn't really an emotional thing, but it was just like I kind of felt bad for the doctors, especially when they brought Lee Harvey Oswald in right out, like a day and a half later. And, they were trying to save him and they fail. It's kind of like one of those, like, dude, you guys just picked a horrible hospital. It's kind of like, there's not much you can do when the president's got half, the backside of his brain blown off.
Well, the one guy was a resident. So he's not like he's a full doctor. He's had the training, but he doesn't have the experience, which I actually like that scene because you get to see how much they actually cared. Not only about the fact he's a person, but the fact he's a president. Because at the end, that one guy had to tell Zac Efron, "Jim, he's dead. Jim."
Yeah, no, I'm calling you. I'm literally calling you. Yeah. Stop so I can call the time.
I mean, so that was I guess taking back what I said a little earlier, that was the only part that was like, wow, but,
Yeah, but, I kind of felt a little bit bad for them because they got, first of all, they get the president. And they all have their emotional ties with the president. Like I said, I don't fully understand it, but,
with Lee Harvey Oswald, sorry to cut you off. I was picturing the guy had the stethoscope. He said, "I can hear a little bit of heart." Nope, he's dead. That's,
Yeah, but, the thing was, is that, like the guy said, is I need a confession. They needed, they really wanted to put him on trial.
Oh, no, totally.
And that would be one of the motivation for me as a doctor or a nurse or a resident at the time you don't get a die like this. You don't get off that easy.
No, true. We're gonna make you alive, and then we're gonna give you the death gas chamber.
Yeah, I'm gonna save you, and then I'm gonna kill you.
I'll wipe you down with oil first.
Yeah.
Isopropyl. So what do you give this movie?
I give it a middle ground. I think it's not fantastic, but, I think it was really well done for what they did.
3 out of 5?
Yeah.
I'm right there with you. Definitely a 3 to 5. I like this movie because it gives you a perspective that, for one, you don't really hear a lot about. Everything's coming from Jackie Kennedy or from maybe the Secret Service people or even people
you
witnesses.
Get it from the Lee Harvey Oswald perspective.
I like this one because it's not 100% neutral, but it's from everybody who wasn't exactly involved in the story, which is the reason I like it so much. Because the first time I watched this, I remember after it going, wow, that movie's amazing. And it's a total strong 3 out of 5. And we're going to switch to the TV show Lucifer, which is the one we did this week. And it's a pilot. And I think it's coming out this season, right?
No, it's next scheduled season? For
2016?
Yeah, 2016. I'm believing kind of like the
Okay, so it's a lead into the news after Christmas break.
Yeah, type thing. Yeah.
This is the first time I think I've seen any movie like this, because usually when they show the devil, he's like the guy from the movie Legend, horns, and I shockingly like this movie. I do love the fact that the devil trolls people, that one little girl who
my name is Beatrix, and they all call me Trixie. That's a stripper's name.
But no, see, I like the girl, the girl that was picking on her.
Yeah.
I love the fact he did whatever did with his eyes, and she's like, ah, it's the friendlier devil, if you can actually say that, without being, was it bedazzled, or whatever
it was called? I actually like what he kind of plays it off as, is you give me your desire, you tell me what your desire is, I help you to make it come true, but all the choices are yours to make.
And
I give you the ideas.
But the other thing I like is, you just owe me a favor.
Yeah.
You didn't sell your soul. You just owe me a favor.
Should I be worried? Yes, yes. You should be.
So what type of favor? Just get better. Then boom, dead.
You know, now the thing that that sticks out to me in this is, now of course he's going to become kind of like her detective partner type thing, but then they have the Mazriel angel guy that comes in.
It's the angel with the black wings. It's that black guy who, by the way, looks so darn familiar. And I can't place why I recognize him. It's driving me nuts.
My phone's not working right now. The internet's not working to pull up his name. I'm kind of like, I don't know how interesting that storyline is going to be. But when he says to him, "I can't wait to eat your heart," that kind of is like, wait, what? You're going to do what now? I could see this now. So it's going to be a battle type thing between those loyal to the devil and those loyal to God.
So I was talking to the old guy who's going to do guest appearances now in Real Flix Reviews occasionally. And to me, it kind of reminded me of the budding.
Oh, did he see this?
Huh? Did he?
Yeah.
No, I described it to him. So what I was telling him is it's kind of like a budding cop dramedy. Because you have this super serious female cop who has some baggage, and then you have this somewhat goofy, somewhat the sidekick. It's almost like the TV show Sentinel crossed with Numbers, crossed with maybe a little Dragnet and maybe a little
Supernatural,
a little bit Law and Order SVU sprinkled along the side.
I like the Lucifer character. The guy who's playing Lucifer does a really good job. He's like the ultimate troll.
Yeah, he just screws with people. Like, I love this. What was her name? The female cop.
Yeah,
I love her. I love his reaction when the voodoo he does doesn't work on him and work on her, and he's just like, you know, fascinating.
Yeah.
Especially my favorite part in the whole thing was when they're sitting in that shrink's office.
And I like the girl who plays her. She's in a lot of things too.
And it's pretty funny. And he's like, "Well, we'll do Pound Town later, but I really need to do this." And you see her going, the cop going,
"What?"
And you could just see.
But my favorite scene out of all of it is the Alfred scene. When he comes in and
yes,
it's like, "I have narcotics for him." Okay, he brings him in. What is the guy doing? He has narcotics for you. And then he just goes ahead and just flips out on the dude. And
One thing that I did notice, I mean, because we're running a little late in the next segment, was he's immortal, except when that angel put his wings to the throat. You notice he was afraid, so makes me go that he's immortal to human weapons. Not of course. Mystical weapons. And the other thing is that coin. I have a feeling that coin has a story.
I like that the coin on both sides has "In God We Trust." You notice that?
No, I didn't.
Okay, yeah. So the coin that he has is on both sides. It says "In God We Trust."
And one has the goat head pentagram on it.
Yeah.
Oh, the best action scene, the mild Sons of Anarchy scene, is in the end of it. You know, when he grabs that guy's head and then shows him what his really reaction of it.
Yeah.
I'd love that whole scene. You see her face when the guy's just taking bullets and he's just walking going.
Yeah. Grabs the gun. Yeah. Lifts him up.
So what TV show are we going to do?
The one I'm pushing for right now, and since it's just you and me, is The Bastard Executioner is the one that we're going to be looking forward to next.
And that's FX?
I think so. I don't have that up right now, but yeah.
Because I've seen advertisements. I actually haven't seen each other, so we're gonna do The Bastard Executioner.
Yeah, I've been looking forward to that one.
If I can speak right, just to let you know, we do have a Facebook page. You love us, hate us. You can even tell us we suck, and we'll read you on air.
Troll me, I won't care.
But be creative. The saying that the fat guy sucks, or the guy with glasses sucks. Come on, that's weak sauce. And you can also pause for the cause and, you know, donate to Old Guy Tech TV to help keep the lights on, just like Accord Motels. And so we got a little bit of movie news. One being is MIB, Man in Black, will be doing a reboot without Will Smith.
What about Tommy Lee?
I didn't hear anything about Tommy Lee. At this point, I'm thinking he's probably getting a little up there and doesn't want to do so many movies like he used to.
Right.
And I'll be honest, I think if they do redo it, they need a complete scratch. They have to get rid of him and Will Smith.
Yeah, I can understand that.
And I liked the third one, but I'll be honest, I'm kind of hoping they play this one off as a little bit more serious.
You liked the third one?
I thought it was clever for a back in time movie.
All right.
I mean, it's obviously, it's not it's not like Looper that at least had a little bit of an intelligent thing when it comes to traveling back in time. And no, it's not really that complicated. Just watch the movie and pay attention. But I want him to play a little bit more serious, less comedy. I mean, still comedy, but a little bit more
serious. Kind of more like the first one?
Yeah, or maybe like MASH and later on, when it was more drama with comedy bits, not a comedy with drama bits.
All right.
Because I think it could be. I think there's a lot of untapped potential in that story.
Yeah, that universe, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
a pretty wide open universe.
Oh, no, totally. And the other one that I'm actually kind of bummed about is Pacific Rim 2, Guillermo del Toro's sequel to Pacific Rim, has been removed from Universal Pictures' calendar. From release calendar.
Yeah, I did see that. You know, I wasn't blown away by Pacific Rim.
Have you watched it lately?
No.
See, here's the thing. Like, I've, you know, like most movie guys, I've watched this probably half a dozen times, even though it wasn't my favorite when I originally saw it. This movie grew on me a little bit like the movie Jackal did that we did a couple of months ago.
The thing is you're more of a fan of the mecha anime, and that's really what this is based on. And
no,
I'm not
you're
a
right.
big fan of the mecha anime. I can enjoy it. At times I can get into it, but that's not really my thing. So I guess if you're into the Voltron type things, the Thundercats, you might be a little bit more into the Pacific Rim type of thing. I mean, I'm not saying I'm not a fan of that, but I'm not a big fan of it.
See, because for me personally, I want to see where they go with the story, because the way they make it, the way they made it look like the end to me, that they've beat it here and it can go somewhere else, or it's the end of the series and they win. I just want to see more. And to be honest, they could even do kind of a cartoon and I'd be satisfied, or a book I'd probably read.
You know, I think I might enjoy it a little bit more if it's a cartoon. And I'm a big fan of Guillermo del Toro. Anybody who watches the show or has seen the show when we've done something...
Or like Pan's
with
Lab.
That, yeah, you know, I'm a fan of del Toro. But this one
not a fan of?
Yeah, I just wasn't a fan of it. And I was a little disappointed in that. I wanted to be.
And the next one, I think it's interesting because according to rumors, Spider-Man's going to be coming up in Civil War, which, if I remember correctly, should be the third Captain America movie.
All right.
His web slingers are possibly going to be made by
Peter Parker,
Iron Man, Tony Stark.
Really?
Yeah, I'm curious. I know it's kind of a random bit of trivia and a random bit of news,
I
but
I guess they could kind of throw that in because I mean Tony Stark was quite a developer in the S.H.I.E.L.D. Technology stuff, so he could kind of get in there. But you know, I like the fact that it was made by Peter Parker.
Have you seen the new? It's a cartoon. It was on Disney Channel. It's like the Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yeah,
he's actually part of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
I think you could play it off like that. I don't know if it's actually canon or not, so I guess if it shows up in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, it will be.
Or if some troll gets on here and decides to school us on Spider-Man, go ahead.
Yeah,
I didn't read all the comics.
We're Batman fans, so.
Yeah, screw you.
Yeah, but, you know.
But, you know, I could see that, but I think that I'd be more of a fan if Peter Parker took it up again.
So now the question... The other question is, what do you think about... Do you think Marvel's... there's been too many Marvel movies? Because, in all honesty, there's only one Marvel movie that I'm excited to see now. And I think that'd be one that we would agree on was Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
Besides that, Age of Ultron, I personally wasn't impressed with. We will probably do it at some point. I saw it. It just didn't satisfy me. Ant-Man I liked, but... Thinking back on it, it still didn't hit that button. It didn't hit that button for me. So, what do you think? I mean, because allegedly they're going to do Black Panther, Marvel Civil War should be pretty big. I mean, so what do you think?
I think other than...
And Guardians of the Galaxy 2, which I'm actually kind of excited for.
Other than Doctor Strange, I'm not really excited for any of it. I just am not impressed by it. I'm not even wanting them to reboot the Batman series at all yet.
So is this a case of sequel syndrome, or just there's just been so many that it's just too much?
I think they're just pumping out so much. It's just like, my give-a-damn's getting broken. Seriously.
Need to refill that give-a-damn.
Yeah, it's like you guys have thrown so much out there, and it's like you're just, it's now, sensory overload.
Now, do you think this would be better? Because originally we praised the Avenger movies and all these, because they
were good.
Well, we praised them because they did one movie, two movies, and then they tied them all together. Do you think they're doing that too much versus doing, say, like a Captain America movie, an Iron Man movie, a Doctor Strange movie, and then like keep going, then eventually tie them together a little more? Or do you think?
No? I think if they did that, the problem with doing that is the release
it's just too much.
Keeps on getting bigger and bigger, and then when you go to tie them all together, you got to have the people that are willing to go out and watch all those movies again after they've been released on DVD or Blu-ray or, you know, whatever else they're going to
do. True, and you do risk the fact that they may not like it like they did because they've already seen it, so now they're looking at detailed story, plot holes, even how it looks. Yeah. Does the CG hold up? No, I agree with you.
That's the big problem.
The other thing in a Switch Stories is the one that you post about Jared Leto would be locked up after Suicide Squad.
Yeah. You know,
and this is all, you can see most of the news that we do. You can see it on our Facebook page.
Yeah, we'll post things that are interesting to us.
Hopefully you do, if not.
Yeah, Jared Leto, I'm excited to see his version of the Joker. The problem with his version of the Joker versus the Heath Ledger Joker is that you can't, unfortunately, you can't keep using the same Joker over and over again. And Heath Ledger did by far the best and most favorite Joker that is out there. He did the 90s Joker, and Jared Leto is doing the Joker that followed after him.
So just a little bit of clarity. So 90s Batman is being the one that's from the Batman animated series. It was later called Batman and Robin. That was the one Mark Hamill voiced, the voice of Joker. And then we both think, and then I'm pretty sure Ryan does, Heath Ledger did the live-action version of our beloved Mr. J.
So, and then we got the Joker that followed him, which was, he had kind of moved off the fine line of wanting to see the world burn type of thing to let's burn everything. So,
with Heath Ledger.
Yeah. What Heath Ledger's character wasn't so much he was the let's push Batman over the edge. And then the Joker that followed after that, because that's what the Mark Hamill Joker was always about. He was always about let's push Batman. Yeah. I am trolling Batman. And then the Joker that came after that was the Joker that's like, okay, I'm going to mess with Batman because I can mess with Batman, but everybody else is fair game.
And I would also add that in the comic books, especially in the cartoon that we're talking about, the Joker was basically Batman turned evil, which Heath Ledger also still kept the same level. These guys are both smart as hell.
Yeah.
So how do you think Jared Leto is going to see it? Because
I think it's the crazy Joker. I haven't seen any of the. I've only seen his outfits, and that's really what it leads me to think that's what he's modeling his Joker after.
I have to admit, I'm really excited about Suicide Squad. Yeah. Just because I like Joker. Batman, allegedly Batman's gonna be in it. I don't know. I don't even know if I'm really excited about Superman and Batman, honestly.
I kind of want to see it. I want to see what it's going to come out to be. The problem is that this one's going to be this one, the Benny Affleck Batman and
I don't remember his name.
Anyway, that guy who's playing Superman, they're going to have to try to appease both sides. And that's going to be the interesting one. But I still want to see it. I want to see how they're going to do it, because it's going to be one of those epic war ones where pay attention to the collateral damage. I guarantee a lot of people are going to die, that they're not going to tell you're going to die, but those buildings are not empty.
And I will actually... I will actually say to kind of talk about Batman versus Superman. It looks like this is the first time like he's gonna have to balance the edge of because they even show it in the TV in the trailer is of people are praising and worshiping him. I think that's gonna be something that he's really gonna have. It's gonna be part of the story. Is he's gonna have to get his ego in check, and I think that's why Bruce Wayne is gonna be there to say, "Hey, I'm actually better." Batman.
Okay, Superman, you mean?
Yeah, Superman is going to have to get his ego checked, and I think that's what the story's going to be about.
Yeah, I see that
kind of being what's going to have to happen.
Because I think it's going to be the perpetual Boy Scout versus, you know, Mr. Warm and Fuzzy.
Yeah.
So do you have any... Okay. So we're going to switch to... Do you have any other movie news before we go
nope,
to...
No, I'm done.
So next week is James's pick, so be warned. What are you picking?
I know how much a fan of Ryan Gosling John is. I mean, I know that he just loves everything he's ever done, and he can't wait for anything that Ryan Gosling
See, the
has
only
done.
Problem with picking Ryan Gosling is you're punishing yourself.
So, you haven't seen this one yet. This is a movie from 2001. I thought it was actually in the 90s, but it was in 2001. This is called The Believer.
The Believer?
The Believer.
The Believer.
And it was made in 2001, so look forward to it. This is one that I've had in my list for a very long time.
Oh, shit. This movie?
Yep.
Wow. I gotta be honest. I didn't expect you to pick The Believer.
Yep.
Should be an interesting pick. And next week, we're going to do The Bastard Executioner. Hopefully, we'll get a Ryan's score rating.
Yeah, and hopefully he's there next week.
On that, got to apologize. He just wasn't able to make it. And as like always, thank you for watching.